Lord, I really need you now to fill me with the Holy Spirit so I may preach and speak in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in my own power. And Lord, I pray that all of us may be filled with the Holy Spirit so we may hear what you want to say rather than what I want to say. So come, Holy Spirit, upon us now, I pray. Amen. Well, of course, today's Pentecost, and we're looking at the time when the early church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we've heard it said already this morning, this is like the birthday of the church. I'm not sure actually that's true, because I think it's perfectly clear Jesus had been building his church for the previous 3 years. So it's more like the church coming of age, I think. It's more like the 21st birthday of the church, you know, or the 18th birthday of the church, rather than the first birthday of the church. For those of you who are visiting, we're also looking at worship over 4 weeks. And so today I'm going to have a look at how being baptized in the Holy Spirit affects our worship. Well, obviously, something vital, crucial, massively important is happening this week. And some of us are looking forward to it, aren't we, Matt? What's happening this week?
This week.
Yeah. Was it next week?
Yeah,
a big tournament. Tiddlywinks, tennis.
Not quite, it's the FIFA World Cup.
It's the footy, okay. It's the footy. And some of us, like Matt, like Anne, my wife, it's really looking, is that right, darling? No, my wife is not looking for Matt. I was with David and Giselle Nunn on Friday. They're really looking forward to it, aren't you, David? No. Okay. But some of us really are. Some of us are really looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it, but actually I've had about 45 years of desperate England results, and I know it's going to be, sorry, be a bit of a cynic, but I know it's going to be, Matt is saying, no, it's not going to be like that. Yes, it is, Matt, honestly. Okay. Now, just imagine this is not 2014, this is 1966, all right, when something really could happen, all right? But actually, let's assume that you were Roy Hodgson, there he is on the left in turquoise, trying to motivate your team to take on the world. Now, how would you do it? Well, if I was Roy Hodgson, I'd do lots of team talks. I pull them together. I tell them they were world beaters, even if I didn't believe it. Okay? I'd discuss tactics. I'd do some training. I'd definitely do some training on taking penalties, all right? Which is England is not that good at, really. So I'd be doing all that. What I wouldn't be doing is this. I wouldn't be saying, just go home, hole up somewhere for a few days, and then an amazing gift is going to be delivered to you, and then you'll be able to go out and win the World Cup. Oh, and by the way, I'm off, and I'll see you in a couple of thousand years. I wouldn't be doing that, all right? But actually, that's pretty much what Jesus did. Whoops. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I was doing an assembly on Ascension in the week, and it's a bit like traffic lights, you know. It's kind of stop, wait, and go. You know, stop in Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit, then go out. And that's what it is. So, what happened at Pentecost? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And why does this make any difference to our lives? And we're going to be hearing in a minute that the baptism of the Holy Spirit makes a massive difference to our worship. But what's the big deal about the Holy Spirit? Why do people talk about it? Why do I talk about the Holy Spirit a lot? And the first thing to say is that a lot of people calling themselves Christians, for them, the Holy Spirit doesn't make much of a difference, surprisingly enough. Now, it's actually clear, it's totally clear from the Bible, from what Jesus says, we can't become a Christian, we can't make a relationship with God except through the Holy Spirit. Very truly, says Jesus in John chapter 3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. So we need to be born again, and that is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. But okay, if we're talking about being born again, we start off as baby Christians, don't we? But of course, if everyone stayed a baby their whole life, normal adult life would be impossible. So we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to grow up. And the first way in which we grow up is in terms of character. Now, probably we're going to be looking at Christian character in a series of sermons a bit later on this year. But I guess most of us here will know this passage about Christian character and how the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is shown in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As the Holy Spirit starts to work in our lives, we should be changing. Now, if we have a problem with any of those areas, and I guess all of us have got probably a little bit of a problem with one of those areas, the answer is not just more willpower, you know. The answer is that we need more of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is in the transformation business. He wants to transform us. But the Holy Spirit is not just here to transform us, but he also wants to transform the world through us. And he can only do that effectively if we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think about baptism, a lot of people think about this in terms of baptism. Isn't that nice? There we are. Vicar, sprinkling water on a baby. Now look, that is not what the Greek word baptize means. I'm not talking about methods of water baptism. But when the Bible talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the writers don't talk about being sprinkled with the Holy Spirit. All right? In fact, you might be interested to know that there are two words in Greek for being put in water. Did you know that? Bapto and baptizo. Bapto and baptizo. Now, and there was very interesting, I was reading it in the week. There's a Greek poet and physician called Nicander, and he lived about 200 BC, and he wrote out a recipe for pickled vegetables, all right? So, you know, stay with me on this one, all right? And he says, if you want to make these pickles, the first thing you have to do is you have to dip the vegetables into boiling water, blanch them, all right? That word is bapto. Drop them in, take them out. All right, but then you have to plunge them into vinegar and leave them there. That word is baptizo. Okay, so the question is, do we want to be blanched by the Holy Spirit, or do we want to be immersed and plunged in the Holy Spirit? Both, you know, both verbs mean, you know, being touched by liquid. Okay, but the second one, baptizo, means to dip repeatedly, immerse. It's the word used when a ship sinks, okay? But it's to cleanse by dipping or submerging, washing, making clean with water. So it's much more like this, doing your washing up. That's baptize. You baptize, you're washing up, all right? Or you go through a car wash or even something like that, okay? That sort of thing. That's supposed to happen to you and me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, not in water, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, do I just want to be dipped in and out of the Holy Spirit, or do I want to be plunged in the Holy Spirit? And I want to be plunged in the Holy Spirit. Right. Now, the next thing is this. It's not like water baptism, which of course is a one-off. We're meant to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit again and again and again. Paul says this. Ephesians chapter 5, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting, you see the link there between being filled with the Spirit and worship. Come back to that in a minute. But Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. The Greek tense there is present continuous. It means be filled continuously with the Holy Spirit. It should happen day by day. It should happen all the time. And actually, that's what the early church did. That was their experience. They were filled, and they were filled again, and they were filled again. So on the first day of the resurrection, Jesus comes to see the disciples. It says, with that, he, Jesus, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. So the first touch of the Holy Spirit there. And then, of course, we've heard what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes in power and baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. And then a couple of chapters later, Peter and John have been arrested because they healed the lame man at the beautiful gate in the temple. And they're taken in front of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. And Acts says this then, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. So look, there's Peter. He's breathed on by Jesus on the day of the resurrection. He's filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He stands in front of the Sanhedrin a few weeks later. He's filled with the Holy Spirit again. A little bit later in the same chapter, the prayer meeting after their release, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Can you see it happens again and again and again and again? Just like Paul says in Ephesians, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a daily, a more than daily occurrence. And it needs to be a daily occurrence. Otherwise, all the stuff that Jesus wants to do through us and in us just can't be done. See, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. Perhaps I can just go back to that nice little slide I had earlier. Whoops. Do, 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 do. Sorry about that. There we go. Hang on. Perfect. There we are. Look at them all. Discernment, leadership, hospitality, administration, tongues, miracles, mercy, evangelism, wisdom, being a pastor. Now, you might be interested to know, and if you think about it, it's possible to do all those things without any intervention by God at all. Of course, the prophecy would be false prophecy. Of course, the attempt to heal might fail. Okay? Of course, the discernment might be wrong. But you can speak. You can teach. I can teach, not in the power of the Holy Spirit, but it would be a lecture. You know? I try and I pray. I seek God before I prepare. I ask God to come and guide me and direct me as I speak. Otherwise, it's just dry and flat and boring, you know. And operating in the power of the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra for us as Christians. It's the only way to be. It is the only way to be. The New Testament is absolutely consistent in the way the early Christians encountered the Holy Spirit, that it was daily, that it was powerful and transforming. That encounter was daily and powerful and transforming. And if that's not your experience, then come and ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Spirit afresh. And if that is your experience, if you've had that experience before, then ask him to do it again. We can ask Jesus to do just that. Let me just flash forward a couple more slides. And let me just tell you, this is Jesus' job description. Perfect. Jesus' job description. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but one who's more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and in fire. Jesus is in the business of baptizing in the Holy Spirit. And in the course of our worship this morning, we're going to ask him to do just that. Now, the first difference that the Holy Spirit makes is in our worship. That's the first difference. You can tell that from the account of Acts. In the beginning of Acts, Acts chapter 2, what do we get? We get the rushing wind. We get the tongues of fire. We get them all speaking in tongues. They spill out into the streets of Jerusalem, the narrow streets of Jerusalem. See what happens. Utterly amazed, that's the onlookers, ask, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And not surprisingly, they said, what on earth does this mean? See, the first thing the Holy Spirit inspired people to do was to go out in the streets and worship him, to declare the wonders of God. So what is it about the Holy Spirit that makes worship without him dry and shallow and formal and just going through the motions? Because that's what it is, folks. No Holy Spirit, that's the kind of worship we get. But worship with him, a powerful encounter with the God of the universe. And let me just share three ways in which the Holy Spirit transforms our worship. And the first thing that he does is he exposes sin. He exposes sin in our lives. Psalm 24. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. If we want to ascend the hill of the Lord, if we want to stand in his holy place and worship him, we have to have clean hands and a pure heart. Otherwise, our worship is pointless. What the Holy Spirit does in our lives is that he exposes sin. And we all need it, folks. We all need it. John the Baptist says that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, all one process, actually. But what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit in John 16? Very truly, I tell you, it's for your good I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit exposes sin. Unless we get it dealt with, our worship is meaningless. We don't get off first base. But when the Holy Spirit exposes sin in our lives, we don't need to tell everybody about it. You know, the conviction is there. That's enough. That's enough, provided we come before the Lord and get it dealt with. If we do that, then our worship is pure and holy and acceptable. So first of all, he exposes sin. Secondly, he brings revelation. He brings revelation. What does Jesus say going on in John 16? When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He'll tell you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit guides us into truth about who God is. Now, if you look around the world, people worship all sorts of things. Idols, other people, even animals and trees. I've been to Nepal a couple of times. In Nepal, the people there worship rocks. You may think that's crazy. I've walked down a road. There's been a hole in the road because the roads are full of holes and potholes. There was a rock stuck in the hole of the road, and people have put tikka dye. That's the red dye that they use to worship things on the rock. Okay? Extraordinary thing. They worship rocks. People will worship anything. And if we're not careful, we could end up worshiping a god of our own creation. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to enable us to worship God in the right way. Because when the Holy Spirit is guiding our worship and we're getting involved with him, then we can worship God as he truly is, not how we wish he was or from our own imagination. Okay? And finally, the Holy Spirit draws us into a deep relationship with God. It's a wonderful verse in Psalm 22. It says this, "You are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel." I've quoted the New American Standard Bible there because the New International Version translation is kind of really weak, actually. I don't know why they translated it that way. But the point is that poetically, anyway, when we praise God, it's like we're enthroning him. The word for enthroned, the Hebrew word for enthroned, means this, that he lives right inside our worship, our praises. He takes up residence there. He dwells. He kind of sits down there, you know? It can even mean to marry. The word for that word where it says enthroned or inhabits means to marry. That close, that degree of intimacy. That's how God moves close to us when we worship him. And do you remember, for those of you here a couple of weeks ago, I said worship is not flattery. It's a love relationship. And all the ways that Jesus and the New Testament talks about the church are intimate words. The church is Jesus' bride, Jesus' friends, Jesus' body, his own body. Intimate stuff. And the Holy Spirit has an amazing task of making this intimate relationship real. If we want to move close to God in worship and in relationship, the Holy Spirit is the only person who can help us. That's it, folks. That's it. So we need to seek him. We need to seek him. What does Paul say in Romans 8? The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you should live in fear again. Do you remember Jesus says you're not slaves or servants anymore, you're friends. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And then again in Romans 5. Hope does not put us to shame, doesn't disappoint, says another translation. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The love of God is poured into us by the Spirit. And then Jesus himself in John 16. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father of mine, that's why I send the Spirit who will receive from me what he will make known to you. Can you see? The Holy Spirit pours the love of Jesus into our hearts and draws us into an intimate relationship with him, and so enables us to worship him. So can you see how if we want to worship God truly, we need to do what Jesus says to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. We need to worship God in spirit and truth. It's no good just getting our doctrine right. It's no good believing right stuff about God. We want to believe right stuff about God, or we'll start to believe in all sorts of error. The Holy Spirit helps with that too. But we need to involve the Holy Spirit in our worship, which is why when Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, in a very well-known passage, which a lot of you I'm sure will know, he comes to talk to a church which was getting its worship completely wrong. So do you know what he says? He doesn't say, do you know what you need, Corinthians? You need better preaching. Doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you need lots of new songs. Sorry, Matt, he doesn't say that either. Better worship, he doesn't do that, you know. Let's get some more instruments up there. He doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't say, you need better liturgy. He doesn't say that either. What does he say? He tells them how to incorporate the Holy Spirit and his gifts into their worship. Because if we want worship which is free from sin, so we can worship with clear consciences, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to enable him to convict us. If we want to know truly who God is, we need revelation about God from the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit to do that. If we want to enjoy an intimate love relationship with the Lord Jesus, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So if your answer to all that is, well, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit when I first became a Christian. John chapter 3. Paul's answer would be, well, it's time you got dunked all over again. Okay? If your answer is, yep, I'm a charismatic, you know. I was baptized in a Pentecostal church, 6 months after I became a Christian. I got the second blessing. We won't get into the theology of all that. All I'd say is, you know, I spoke in tongues or received some other spiritual gift or something. Jesus' answer is, you need the counselor now. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. You know, we're not looking at past history here, folks. That's not the sense of being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. It's a daily occurrence. We can't live our lives properly. We don't live a normal Christian life without being baptized daily by the Holy Spirit. We need to receive him now. So look, this is what I'd like us to do. The worship team, would you like to come up? Be great. And they're going to play some songs to us. And I'd like the ministry team. Have we got some ministry team people? Could you like to come up? Come up, ministry team people. Come on up, you come. And Ted as well. Now, what I'd like us to do, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, one sign of being touched by the Holy Spirit is to be anointed with oil. Okay, it's what happened to David. The kings, that always happened with the kings of Israel, they were anointed with oil. So what I'd like us to do is this. I'd like all of you who feel up to doing this, okay, to come up. Ted and I, we've got some oil. We'd like to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And then I'd like to go to some of these lovely people. We'll anoint them first, all right? And I'd like you to go and be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's Pentecost, folks. This is one day of the year we can do this. It's today, all right? So please do come. Please do come. You haven't got to say anything. You haven't got to do anything. You've just got to receive.